It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Bravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball. We'll see if they handle this one. They do, and that is it. 6-2 is the final. So the Red Sox have company in first place in the American League East. You have to go back, 43 days? They had first place all to themselves, 43 consecutive days. It goes 6-2 Phillies.
So what do you think, Murray? What do you think, Jimmy Stewart? The beginning of the end? Now that someone else shares first place with the Red Sox, are they ever going to be there alone again? Are they ever going to be there at all? That is sort of the question here, and I'm half joking. 617-779-0985. We have a full baseball hour tonight, the aptly named Baseball Hour. In fact, dare I say, Murray, you ready for this?
Yes.
It'll be a full week of one-hour shows, Murray.
Oh, I think until further notice, until like the season's over. I've already prepared myself for
that. Yeah, well, I wanted to break the news to you gently, Murray. I was afraid that it hadn't dawned on you.
Oh, no. I've seen the start times the rest of the way for the playoffs for the Celtics and Bruins, and it's going to be short-lived for the Celtics. So, no, I know. I'm ready to go.
Okay, so there you go. So, in earnest, in a manner of speaking, it's our opening day here on the Baseball Hour. How do you like that? May 24th, our first full week of one-hour programs. We'll have them for you here on 98.5 The Sports Hub this hour from 6 to 7 because the Bruins wiped out the Capitals. Wiped them out. They will not play again until at the earliest, I think. Well, there's a chance they'll play on Friday, I guess, right? Because the other series between Pittsburgh and the Islanders is going at least two more games. So that's tonight and Wednesday, which means they will open the series no earlier than Friday. But even that is doubtful. I think you're looking at it over the weekend. And the Celtics start at 8 tomorrow, so that's not going to interrupt programming. So we got baseball here for you now for the rest of the summer. And again, 617-779-0985. Here's what we're going to talk about to start the show tonight. The Red Sox series over the weekend, and Saturday was the win of the series. That was the game of the series, and I think you saw a pattern in the 2-3-game series with Toronto and Philadelphia. The series against Toronto, the first two games, the third game was the one to watch, and that's the one that decided the series. The series with Philadelphia, the first and third games, the one in the middle was competitive. That was the one to watch, and that's the one that decided the series. The Red Sox won both of those. They won the final game against the Blue Jays. They won the middle game against Philadelphia. They go 4-2 on the road trip, so everything's great. Everything's fine. Then why does yesterday bother me? Why does yesterday bother me? The Red Sox had a chance to go for a sweep against a Philadelphia team that overall has been mediocre. And Alex Cora put a lineup on the field that was, dare I say, a spring training lineup or something close. Spring training's probably a little too strong. It's not like they didn't have big league players in there. But no Bogarts, no J.D. Martinez, no Alex Verdugo. Now, I'll tell you, let me just say this up front. I get it. I understand it. And generally speaking, I support it. And I understand the logic with Bogarts in particular. You're going to play him a lot of games. He's going to play 150-plus. J.D. Martinez had to play in the outfield some this past week because of no DH, at least in the final game of the final weekend of the trip, the series against Philadelphia. So I understand that. And Verdugo's been a little banged up, had a hamstring issue So they want to be careful with Verdugo. But those are three of your best hitters. And let this also be a lesson to you in terms of how the Red Sox are constructed. If you take Bogarts, Martinez, and Verdugo out of the lineup, you're going to lose. And for that matter, Devers played, but he's another one that they have to be careful with. So this is something to consider about the way the Red Sox are built. Their core guys are indispensable. You cannot lose them. You can't lose JD for any length of time. You certainly can't lose Bogarts for any length of time. He might be your most valuable player, and I don't mean that in terms of the award. I mean that in terms of the guy you can least afford to lose might be Xander Bogarts because he plays a lot of games, he's productive, and the whole team, really, when you get right down to it, is built around the 2-3-4-5, and I'm including Verdugo, but of Verdugo, Bogarts, Rafael Devers, and JD Martinez. Your whole team is really built around those four guys because none of your starters are true aces, and we'll get to Eduardo Rodriguez in the next segment, but during the show. And they all have some injury history, and you're going to rely on your bullpen as you did in that game on Saturday, and boy, did they come through. But the guys that you cannot lose on this team, aside from starting pitching in general, are those guys in the lineup. Verdugo, Bogarts, JD Martinez, Devers. If you were to lose any one of those guys for a substantial amount of time or a length of time, particularly when you're playing good competition, you're going to be in trouble because the Red Sox don't have a lot of margin for error. I think all those guys are critical. So now, where I find that the curious part with Alex Cora is that Cora began this year preaching urgency. And I'm not calling him a hypocrite. I'm just telling you it's a change. So during spring training, Cora preached urgency. They got their pitchers ready. They really pushed the starting pitching in camp. And they wanted those guys ready to go to start the year. And honestly, with the exception of Garrett Richards, they were ready to go to start the year. The offense let them down in the season opening series against Baltimore. And then the Red Sox kind of clicked. They caught fire. They won 9 in a row. And here they are now, and it's 29-19, I believe, is their record now. So they're tied with the Rays atop the division. And I would say overall that the attitude has served them well. They're half game now behind Tampa. Did Tampa play today?
Yeah, they came back and won yet again. They've now won 11 straight.
Okay, so Tampa played today and won. They had a day game, but they were both 29-19 going into today. But in any case, here's my point.
They scored 7 runs in the 11th inning, Max.
Okay, so you know, Cora treated this whole thing as
a throwaway game.
Well, yes, but the point being is he approached it for the season as we can't take days off. We have to grind. We're going to be a good team, but we got to keep working. And we can't take days off. And I'm putting words in his mouth, but I think that was the general message. So yesterday they got to 29-18. They had the end of a trip, and they're off today, back tomorrow. So he looked at it and says, I'm going to give all my best players, or three of them, the day off and let them get 2 days of rest, which is fine. It's logical thinking. I just don't know if this team can do it that way. I really don't. I don't know if they're good enough to manage it like the team that played here 15 years ago and that we knew was going to be in the postseason or almost always in the postseason that had its eyes on a championship. Those teams had to be managed with October in mind. I don't think this team can be managed with October in mind, because I don't think there's any guarantee they're going to get there. Now, again, I understand Cora's logic. Okay? I understand it. And if you want to tell me it's a good decision or it's a good sign that Cora's looking at it saying, okay, we got off to a good start. I need to start thinking about the long haul because we're going to be in this thing. If that's what you want to convince me of, fine. I just don't know that this Red Sox team is good enough to be winning games when they give their best players the day off, and especially when they give multiple players their day off. I understand why he did it. I'm really talking more about the talent on the team.
Tony, I think yesterday's scenario changes had they lost one of the first two games to Philadelphia, because Cora always preaches about winning series. So they win the first game against Philly. They win the second game against Philly. We've won the series. We're good. We'll give everybody 2 days off.
So, Jimmy, I'll tell you what, that's an interesting point. My gut tells me right now he was going to do it either way. And there's no way for me to prove that. I just know that managers look at the off day, but maybe you're right. Maybe if they had lost Saturday, Bogarts plays yesterday. Maybe that's how he would have done it. In any case, Tony's in Stoneham. He'll kick us off tonight. Tony, what do you got?
Tony, Tony, did I just hear you say that you're going to be on five nights now?
Oh, no, on this show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this show's on every night, Tony. We're on 6 to 7.
That is the best news, best Christmas present you're going to give me.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So let's talk about the Red Sox. First of all, I give little importance to this 9-game winning streak they had early in the year. As you can see, every team in baseball will have a long winning streak. I don't care if the team is 70-92. They're going to have a long winning streak. The thing that's amazing about this team, they got three batters that could hit 30 or more home runs. They have another three batters that could easily hit 20 or more home runs, which is pretty darn good. And I think why he rested these guys is because he felt he had potentially his best pitcher going yesterday, but that pitcher blew up. So they're out of the game right away.
Yeah, so Tony, I'll tell you what, if I were Eduardo Rodriguez, I'd be pissed. I'd look at it and say, dude, I'm grinding. Counting yesterday's start, the team's 1-4 and Rodriguez's last five. It's not like he's been going well. And so I look at it and say, that's the day you're going to take the guys out of the lineup. And again, I understand it. I just don't know that this team is in a position to give games away. I don't think they're that good anymore, and I felt like yesterday they gave one away. I hope I'm wrong. Marcus is in Worcester. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, I wanted to say the Red Sox, they're going to be okay. You know, they're going to make the playoffs if they stay healthy. But I wanted to ask you about the Phillies. What do you think their chances are to make in the finals? Because they have a pretty good lineup themselves.
Yeah, honestly, Marcus, I don't care about the Phillies. I don't mean to, you know, I'm not trying to dump on you, but we're a Boston station. We do a Red Sox show. So are you guys convinced that the Red Sox are going to be in the playoffs? Jimmy Stewart, Jimmy Murray?
Yes. Yes-ish. Look, I mean, so I think just last week when you had Jared
Curry. You guys can't be serious about this. Jimmy, you're convinced that they're going to be in?
I thought they were going to be good before the season. I predicted 93 wins in the AL East title because I feel like the rest of the American League is flat and this team's offense could carry them through shaky pitching.
Murray, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in the mix, and they can maybe get in by winning the division or squeaking as a wild card. Look, last week when you had Carrabas of Barstool Sports on, he said he thinks the American League East is the best division in baseball, and I tend to agree. And it's likely going to be different permutations of who's in first place all summer. You're going to get a few days of the Red Sox, maybe a couple of weeks of the Red Sox. Then the same with the Rays, and the same with New York, until one of them maybe pulls away in September, and they gel post-deadline with whatever additions they make to the team. So the Red Sox can be one of those teams, absolutely.
Okay, so listen, I didn't say they can't, but the caller said they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, it's not a lock by any stretch.
I mean, has this guy looked at the standings? Like, look at the teams in the league. Right now, Tampa Bay's in front of the Red Sox, and the Yankees are only a half game behind the Red Sox. So the division is a complete fight. And then Oakland,
the division's bananas. The Rays have now won 11 straight. You got Vlad Guerrero hitting bomb after bomb. He's got like 14 of them. Yankees pitching's been better. Red Sox offense remains hot. So, yeah, no, it's if nothing else, like the thing that's going to be good for whoever wins this division, like it's going to bring out the best of them. Like they're going to have gone through a war for this division.
I just don't I think people are getting people like the last caller are getting a little too cocky, a little too soon.
Yeah, pretty much, because we want to be positive.
Okay, so there's a difference between being positive, though, Jimmy, and then understanding the real challenge. See, I think when you start giving games away, you start to border on a cocky a little bit, and this team has no right to be cocky. No right to be cocky.
I respect it.
Again, I understand the logic behind the decision. I do. But the Red Sox need to be careful with days like yesterday. They're not that good anymore. And when I say not that good, I'm comparing them to the championship caliber teams that went after titles here for a long, long time. Those championship caliber teams, fine, I get it. You want to give away games with the 2018 club or the 2007 club or the 2004 team, even 03. They had a wagon. They were loaded too. 08 was a team that was loaded. You want to give away games those years? No problem. Not this team, not this year. I don't think they're good enough to be doing that. And to me, and look, I don't know, Cora hasn't done it to now, so you always pick your spots. I get it. It's a marathon. But it does feel like if you try to do that on a regular basis, you're not going to be in it at the end and you won't make the playoffs. 617-779-0985. I do want to jump back to that game on Saturday night as well. Something interesting happened in that game, I thought. The bullpen was terrific, and we'll get to your calls when we come back.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's been a tough week as far as like the timing, you know, 7:30 starts and long games in Dunedin and the traveling here and the last 2 days. I told Haim yesterday, you know, welcome to reality. This is what we do. You know, all the, those quick games early season, that was just a tease. You know, now we're back to who we are, and the networks are picking our games. So that means longer games. So We're back to normal now. Sorry about that.
Dallas Cora. That was before yesterday's game. He was asked about the lineup again, taking Bogarts out, taking Martinez out, taking Verdugo out. He says we're back to being who we are. And I you know, look, we read into things, Murray, right? That's what we do. And so when Alex Cora says we're back to being who we are, I almost look at it like he went into this season knowing they had to rebuild the operation. They had to rebuild the credibility. They wanted to get off to a good start. And so I'm reading into this. And when he says we're back to being who we are, we're getting picked up by the national TV games. They moved the starts back to 7:30 in these last two series. And so the guys get to bed a little later. We've been on the plane. It's starting to add up. The games are getting there, but we're in it. We are in it. And we're back to being the Red Sox. I sort of feel like, well, let's not go too far with that. I liked the Red Sox the way they were at the beginning part of this year. Murray, I think you liked them too.
Yeah, and I still do. I still think that they're like a good story and they're going to be competitive, you know, in every series. But I don't know. Like, why is this bad? Like, he's saying, like, we're no longer an also-ran and we're out of the depths of hell that was last year. I think that's okay to bring up.
Okay, so I'm just telling you that I don't think that that part of it's over yet. I don't think it's as much as baseball. And I believe in fast starts and strong finishes. Okay, that's what I believe in a baseball season that the good teams will do. You'll get off to a strong start. You get off to a fast start and a strong finish. Okay, those two things are leading into the deadline, so you're in it. Coming out of the deadline, when you add, to me, there's sort of a pattern and a formula there to build a winning team in baseball. I really believe that. I always have. And look, the data might not approve that. It might not validate that, because you might have such a big lead going into mid-August that you coast at the end of the year and you don't need to finish strong. Fine, I get it. I'm just telling you, this team this year, I don't know if they're good enough to all of a sudden get to, you know, 29-19, 48 games in, not quite a third of the way through, and that'll be at the end of the week. They'll have played a third of the season. But get to that stage and then all of a sudden say, okay, we're going to start sort of pacing it now because we're hitting the dog days because we think we're good enough to be in it. I hope they're right. I'm not sure I believe it. Tom's in Quincy, our buddy Tom. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys? So, listen, I'm kind of leaning with you, Tony. I think that, you know, we're potentially a playoff team, but I think the Achilles heel on this team is really the, you know, the bullpen, the guys, the seventh and eighth inning pitchers. You know, all we really have is Barnes back there that's, like, relatively consistent. Other than that, it's kind of like if we don't score a lot of runs or if our, you know, top three pitchers have a bad day, it's like, it's almost, in my mind, like, it's almost a guaranteed loss. My question to you is, who can we trade for to, like, really improve that aspect of the team?
Hey, Tom, before, no, don't hang up yet. Before you hang up, did you watch the game on Saturday night?
I was a little hammered on Saturday, to be honest with you, but
yeah, that's
I glimpsed it, but I mean, yes, I had it on, but I also had some live NBA bets. So
okay, no, and you were hammered. So hey, hammered's okay. I don't mind hammered. You get hammered all you want. Just, you know, don't drive and don't go to work hammered. You want to have a couple in a weekend, Murray? You can pop away on the weekend, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And crack Thursdays. Practically the weekend.
I would say Thursday is a weekend night as far as I'm concerned, as far as most people are concerned. The reason I asked him about Saturday's game, and that was a different Tom and Quincy. Saturday's game in the seventh inning to me was a critical, it was a critical juncture of that game. Okay, so the Red Sox are ahead 4-2, and Phillips Valdez is on the mound. So Cora's still looking now to find a guy there in that seventh inning area because he's sticking with Ottavino in the eighth and Barnes has obviously got the ninth. So he's trying to find that guy in the seventh to make it work. And I you know, he's sticking with Ottavino. I think even the eighth is dicey. But Phillips Valdez comes into the game and gives up a single to the first batter. Then he walks a guy, strikeout, hit by pitch. So now Phillips Valdez has loaded the bases with one out in a 4-2 game, and Bryce Harper is coming up to the plate. Cora goes to Darwin's and Hernandez, who scares the hell out of me. Hernandez strikes out Bryce Harper and was nasty. He was nasty to Harper. Harper obviously bats left-handed. Rice Hoskins steps up. He's a righty. And Hernandez hits him. So now it's 4-3. Well, now you have the three-batter minimum rule, so Cora can't take him out of the game even if he wants to. And Hernandez is jumping around on the mound. He's arguing that he didn't hit Hoskins, but the replay shows that he clearly did. So Hernandez feels to me like an emotional guy that can't keep his composure on the mound, and like everyone else in the big leagues now, comes out of the bullpen throwing from his ass and is going to hit people. He feels like that kind of guy to me. But Cora has to leave him in the game. Has to leave him in. He then strikes out Brad Miller to get out of the inning. Ottavino strikes out the side in the eighth, and Barnes strikes out the side in the ninth, albeit with two base runners, and they win the game. But it wasn't exactly locking it down. And so they don't have enough bodies there, and I am worried about that. And honestly, I am getting more down on Darwin's and Hernandez by the day. Drew's in Boston. Drew, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, just to kind of get on your point earlier, they need to collect these wins now. They're not good enough. For everyone who thinks that they're just going to punch a ticket to the playoffs, I got another thing to tell you. And I've been watching this team for over 40 years. They're just not that good. They're good enough, sure, but they're not that good where they can just piss away games and put out a lineup that's got an average of about 235, which also exposes how bad their bench is and what a bad job Bloom has done when they need these guys to get a blow. It's scary when you watch a game like that and they lose a team with barely any major leaguers on the other side due to injuries. It's worrisome.
Okay, so Drew, I don't think you're right about the batting average. Okay, 235 is the average in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox are on the high side. They're second in the major leagues with 263 team average, and you'd say, well, big deal, 263. I'm just telling you, it's the second best in the game. Houston's first. And in terms of runs scored, they're first in the league. They're first in the majors in runs scored. You want to talk about OPS. The Red Sox are number one in baseball in OPS. So the offense has been fine. And I would tell you, by the way, that there are things that have happened with the offense of late that has made me feel better about them. Which is that, you know, Hunter Renfroe has contributed, or at least was for a while there. Dahlbeck has contributed. Again, for a while he went really cold, but now he's starting to contribute. Franchi Cordero, and this is another one. Did you guys see the home run Franchi Cordero hit?
Yeah, it was 255 miles per hour off the bat. Like, what a monster shot.
Okay, 470 feet. I heard everybody talking about, wow, what a home run. Who gives a rat's ass? It took him 48 games to hit one home run. We're going to get excited that it went far?
Yeah, but he's the franchise now.
So, like, now look, Cordero to me has been a major, major disappointment. I don't care how far he hits it when he actually connects with it. Great. He still misses it far too often, so what's the point of that? But overall, I would say I'm okay with the offense. I've been okay with the offense from the very beginning. But a day like yesterday, when you take three of your best four hitters out of the lineup, it does show you how thin the lineup is without those key guys in there. So they are built around that core. Bogarts, Devers, Martinez, and I'll give you Verdugo. Three of them sat yesterday, and they get shut down. hardly a coincidence.
Do you think also that it plays into that they're playing a National League team and not an American League team?
Well, so look, they didn't have the DH, Jimmy, so that's part of it. Normally you'd say J.D. Martinez, you might DH, but because he had to play in the field, they were going to give him a day off. And same with any of them. If you wanted to give Bogaerts a day, you'd say normally I make him the DH and someone else plays shortstop, and that's how Bogaerts gets his rest. He doesn't have to play the field. So that is an element. There's no question that's
But what I mean by that specifically is tiebreakers are versus the American League, versus the American League East. Not again, a tiebreaker in a scenario where the division is on the line or a wild card is not against the National League.
I don't think he's thinking that far ahead. I think he's thinking of it in terms of, I see a chance to have a give these guys a day off. We're going to be, it's a National League city. We can't have a DH anyway. We got an off day Monday. We're going to rest him and play him Tuesday night. I get the logic. I do. I get the logic. I'm just telling you, be careful, because this team is not good enough to give games away. They're not. They're not the Red Sox of other years. So somewhere along the line, these add up, and you lose too many of them. You miss the playoffs by two games. You'll say, geez, we shouldn't have given away that game back on May 23rd against the Phillies at the end of a series. Especially when your alleged ace is really starting to go to crap. Eduardo Rodriguez is next. Murray's got your headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
From breaking news.
What are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think it's more about the cutter. I do believe it's a lot bigger. He hasn't been able to get that two-seamer going, but I think the cutter, for me, from my end, is the one that usually he uses it to get back in counts or to get weak contact early in counts up and in against righties. He's either too big or too erratic. I think his fastball is actually plain. 3-2 count to Miller. He hit it to left field, and the ball went out of the ballpark. But, I do believe out of all the pitches, the one that he's actually missing is the cutter.
Alex Cora discussing the difficulties or struggles of Eduardo Rodriguez. Well, allowed four runs in the first inning yesterday, dug the Red Sox a hole. They never recovered. That was the end of that. They lost again. So the Red Sox now have lost four of the last five times that Eduardo Rodriguez has started, which is a significant departure from where they were both earlier in the year and earlier in the last 3 or 4 years with Rodriguez on the mound. Now, again, it's all about the team you have on the field. But if you go back to 2018, up through the early part of this year, the Red Sox had a higher winning percentage with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound than I think any other team in baseball had with a starter on the mound. He always kept them in the game. They often won. They were virtually unbeatable, as much as you can be, with Rodriguez on the mound. Now they've lost 4 out of 5, and the guy's getting hammered. So you heard Cora say there, he doesn't think it's an issue of velocity. So look, I know not everybody's watching these games beginning to end. So I don't see a huge change in the velocity. Maybe in his peak velocity. In other words, when Rodriguez really needs a strikeout, you see him jump up and hit 96. So I don't think he's doing that anymore. Or he's certainly not doing it with any sort of regularity, is what I should say. But if you go back to the last time he pitched a full season, his average velocity on his four-seam fastball basically was between 92 and 93.5 miles an hour. Okay, 92 to 93 and a half. This year, it's 92 and a half to 92.8. Like, so it's down a little, but not much. Not much at all. So you heard Cora there say that he still thinks the bigger issue is with Eduardo Rodriguez's cut fastball, that he's having trouble controlling the break, and that pitchers that would normally stay on the outside part of the plate are now cutting over to the middle of the plate and they're getting hit. And you know what? I want that to be true. And here's why I want it to be true. I'll tell you what, let's do this. I'll tell you why I want it to be true after we bring in Chris from Worcester. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Tony, in the baseball hour. I am concerned about the kind of downtrend now with Eduardo, because we need that stop the bleed, but we haven't had any bleeds with losing. That's what I meant. I was wondering, can we tie Nathan Eovaldi into this too? Has he pitched well? Because I've been watching a lot of beads and stuff. How's Eovaldi been doing? I'm thinking about like our top two. Am I missing anything there? Is Eovaldi been okay too? And also, do you think he might have a dead arm and he might go on the shelf, Eduardo?
You're talking, Eduardo. Thanks. Okay, yeah. Thanks for the call, Chris. So look, Eovaldi started out like gangbusters, then he cooled off a little. The last couple of times, I would say he's been okay. Pretty good. Not like he was early in the year, where he was absolutely dominant. I don't think he's been that of late. But Rodriguez has been noticeably bad. Again, the OPS against him in the last five starts is almost 1,000. He's 1-4 with an ERA in the mid-sixes. So the numbers there are wretched. And again, I would agree with Cora in that the ball's in the middle of the plate a lot, at least in the bits that I've seen. So I haven't seen every pitch of every outing. Who does anymore? But I would tell you that the bits that I've seen, I don't think it's really about velocity. And I'll tell you what, after all the bitching that I have done and that we have done, particularly in the last week, about how baseball is nothing more, at least as it pertains to the pitchers, than guys coming in, guys coming in out of the bullpen, airing it out, throwing 98 miles an hour and having no command or control, I don't want that to be an excuse for Eduardo Rodriguez. I don't. So what? He can't get people out with 92 and a half, 93? It's enough. If you pitch right, it's enough. If you put the ball in the spots you're supposed to put it, it's enough. It shouldn't be all about velocity. So if you can't pitch, that's your problem. Figure it out. This whole idea of like, well, he doesn't throw hard enough. Everyone throws 97, 98. I hate that. I hate these guys who come in, just wind up and whip it out of their ass and just trying to get it up there and throw as hard as they can for 20 or 30 pitches, and then that's it. They're done. They hand the ball to the next guy. This is why guys only go 5 innings now. This is why nobody actually pitches, because they are all just throwers. I hate that. And so if Eduardo Rodriguez's velocity is down, well, you want to tell me he's throwing 87, fine. He's still throwing almost 93 miles an hour. It's enough. If you spot it right and mix your pitches and throw strikes, it's enough to get people out. Watch Hyunjin Ryu of the Blue Jays. That guy barely cracks 90. He gets people out more efficiently than anybody in the big leagues. There aren't enough pitchers in the game anymore. I would like Eduardo Rodriguez to be a pitcher, not a thrower. And when he's right, he is a pitcher. Now, there's a finer line for those guys, but fine. But that's okay. I'd rather have that. Those guys, to me, are more interesting to watch. I mean, everybody's throwing 98 now. So I'll take the guy who can pitch. And the guy that comes out of the bullpen, all they do, half these guys down. Now we have the issue of them hitting batters. We talked about this last week with Kevin Pillar. It happened with the Red Sox on Saturday night. The pitchers in the game are starting to get afraid of throwing inside. Okay, a lot of them aren't ready to do it yet. And I'll give you an example, because there was one on Saturday night in the Red Sox game against the Phillies. We'll play it for you when we come back.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa, up and in fastball. Seen a lot of that just in this past week. We've seen some scary moments. Hernandez got out of the way of that one.
This is, after a breaking ball or at any point as a hitter, this is, you see your light flash before your eyes. How he gets out of the way. It was interesting. We talked to Joe Girardi about that. He kind of brought it up to us, and he said to Kevin Pillar, when Kevin Pillar took one in the face the other night, just kind of opened his eyes to it, and how many balls up and in.
And that's almost like an overcompensation now from Howard, who released it early on the previous pitch, releases it late here, and a wild pitch gets the runner in Eovaldi to second.
On Saturday night, I don't know how many people saw this. And Murray and Jimmy Stewart, be honest. Did you guys watch any of the Red Sox and Phillies on Saturday night?
I did not. No, I was on the Celtics.
Yeah, no. And I don't blame you one bit. Jimmy, did you watch any at all?
I was on the Celtics, and I was three fingers deep in tequila.
Yeah.
All right.
Good for you. Good for you, Jimmy. So, look, I was on the Celtics for a good chunk of the night, too. I did switch over from time to time to watch the Red Sox, and it was a Fox broadcast. So if you don't recognize the announcers, that's why. But that was from the Red Sox game against the Phillies on Saturday night. The pitcher on the mound at the time was Spencer Howard. He's a right-hander for the Phillies who doesn't throw exceptionally hard. He's a guy that, like Eduardo Rodriguez, is around 92, 93 miles an hour. But he is also a guy that I would say, at least it felt like just completely lost it. So I'm trying to look up Spencer Howard here quickly to get a sense of how many guys he has walked during the course of the season thus far, what his history is in the minor leagues. But in the early part of that game against the Red Sox, this guy dominated. Okay, and I say early part of the game, I'm talking a couple of innings. Okay, Spencer Howard struck out five of the first six batters he faced. I think it was five of the first six outs. And as I look at it here, he's walked a lot of guys here in the early part of the season. He now has, he hasn't pitched that much. So he has six walks in seven and a third innings, which is high. But I think this game was the majority of them. And clearly they were the majority of them, because here's what happened. Enrique Hernandez came to the plate with one out. The first pitch to him was a slider, 76 miles an hour, that Hernandez missed. The next pitch was a fastball up and in that got away and almost hit Hernandez in the face. So this was akin to the Kevin Pillar incident last week against the Atlanta Braves, where Pillar took a fastball in the face. And then you heard people around the game say, well, this is a product or a byproduct of some of the problems in the game today. Joe Girardi, the Phillies manager, was one of them, because early in the year, Bryce Harper got hit in the face with a fastball. It glanced off the visor of his helmet. So Harper avoided serious injury. In the case of Pillar, he suffered fractures to his nasal bones around, and under his eyes, his cheekbones, and looked like he'd been in a fight, like he absolutely got pounded in the ring for 15 rounds. So after that, we played an Alex Cora cut for you early in the year, where Cora said, look, and this was after Christian Arroyo got hit in the hands. And Cora said, well, look, again, this is a product of guys being rushed to the major leagues who throw hard, because all we care about now is the strikeouts. And if a guy walks someone, no problem. If he hits a batter, no problem. We'd rather that than a home run or a double or a single or a ground ball, because all those things, you know, introduce quote unquote chaos. And Cora didn't say chaos. I'm just talking about the nerd theory. You want to keep the ball out of play. So everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour, whipping it from their ass. Here you go, and now you get hit batters. Well, what happened with this kid Howard after Hernandez, to me, was an interesting lesson. Howard went on an 0-1 pitch up and in and nearly hit Hernandez in the face. Then you heard the broadcaster say there, the next pitch, down and away. And when I say down and away, he threw a wild pitch. The ball bounced into the dirt. It was in the left-handed batter's box, as far away from Hernandez as you could be. And that ball kicked all the way to the backstop, and Nathan Eovaldi gets a second base. So to that point in the game, Eovaldi was the first walk of the game for Howard. After that pitch to Hernandez, which made the count 2-1, the next two pitches were almost identical. They weren't wild pitches, but they were down and away, nowhere near the inside part of the plate to Kiki Hernandez. This kid was terrified of hitting Hernandez after that pitch. And do either of you guys remember, what's the name of the guy who hit Kevin Pillar? Jacob something with the Braves.
Oh, I don't know. Hold on.
So this guy, you know, whipped a fastball, hit Pillar in the face, looked horrified, felt badly about it after the fact. And
Jacob Webb.
I was going to say West. Jacob Webb. So Jacob Webb is a young guy that doesn't know where it's going. Spencer Howard feels like a younger-ish guy that doesn't throw as hard as Jacob Webb, but doesn't seem to know where it's going. And I think he really paid the price in the game against the Red Sox. Because to me, what happened is, after that walk to Kiki Hernandez, which was the second walk, Rafael Devers hit a double. The Red Sox scored a run. Then J.D. Martinez came up. He walked. Bogaerts ends up hitting a sac fly to get a run in. So the Red Sox get a couple of runs in that inning, but three of his walks were in that inning. And I would say that two of them were the result of his lack of confidence in throwing the ball to the inner part of the plate against right-handed batters. And then in the fourth inning, Bobby Dalbec led off and he walked. Excuse me. So at the end of the day, these young guys, and this is something that I remembered from having covered baseball many years ago, young pitchers, the ones who have to learn how to pitch, and this is true of most any kid that ends up in the minor leagues, except for the rare exceptions, who just throw strike after strike after strike and can command the baseball at a young age. It takes a little time to develop that. Most guys who get drafted throw hard. They get to the minor leagues, and they've never had to live on the corners because they throw so hard in high school and college that they can strike everybody out. No big deal. Then they get to the big leagues, or they get to professional ball in the minors, and they understand that location matters because the hitters in the minors can hit 96. And it takes them a while, particularly to throw inside to guys who are of the, you know, right-handers on right-handed batters and lefties on left-handed batters. Getting inside on those hitters, really on both sides of the plate. But a righty to a righty, and in the case of Phillies, this kid Spencer Howard, his ball's going to tail in a right-handed batter. So he might not want to go in there too often if he's not confident. And in this game, he looked like a kid that was afraid to go back inside like he was going to hurt Kiki Hernandez. And let me tell you, that is no way to pitch. You can't pitch that way in the big leagues. Once you start showing some fear or some unwillingness or lack of confidence to go inside, you're in trouble, whether you throw 98 or not. And so I just think it's something to watch as the season goes along here. Because, again, we saw another example of it on Saturday night in that game. So, no game tonight, as everyone knows. Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports will join us tomorrow on the Baseball Hour. Jim Murray's got your headlines. Adam Jones and Christian Arcand have you for the balance of the night. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.